Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. I share with you words of writer Lisa Lorraine Baker at crosswalk.com when talking about tough Bible topics or tough church topics. She writes, "Arguing gets us nowhere, but it hasn't stopped Christians yet. Because God told us numerous times in His Word to be at peace with one another." And she lists almost a dozen Bible verses you could refer to. That admonition, she writes, should guide our conversation when we engage with others about Bible subjects. It had certainly been my hope that once the worst of the pandemic was over in our nation, that we might be able to take up topics for discussion while being and remaining at peace with one another, but I have been disappointed. We have an affirmation of our faith, which we make each week, this one from Ephesians in the second chapter. "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. Jesus is telling a story. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick and you looked after Me. I was in prison. You came to visit Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The King will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of Mine, you did for Me.' Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after Me.' They will also answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for Me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. This is one of Jesus' stories often referred to as the sheep and the goats. I am not going to preach about sheep or shepherds again today. Now, one thing that is interesting about Jesus' sheep and goats in his story is that the Jesus' sheep and goats talk. Real sheep don't do that. I had one professor say that if the sheep could talk, we would not eat them. But on to the Bible. Once in a while, I find writings or songs that are biblical, but the writer or the songwriter was not writing about the Bible. They were not using the Bible as a source, and they were not claiming the authority of the Bible. And yet, what I read can be found right in the Bible. Evangelical American Christians have trouble with that, but sometimes I think that they don't know their Bibles very well. If you're talking about love and loving people, are you not talking about something in the Bible? Yes. And yet there are pastors and Christians in American churches who have read the Bible and still don't understand what the Bible is saying about loving. When the Bible says, love your neighbor, Jesus even said, love your enemies. So I found someone who wrote what I consider a completely biblical essay, even though the writer did not quote the Bible. How did the writer do that? Because she was talking about love and kindness. And doesn't the Bible say that God is love? 1 John 4:8. So that writer is talking about our God when they write about love. So even though that writer never claimed the Bible authority, the essay is so good, I share it with you today with the Bible notations that demonstrate that what the woman wrote was indeed biblical. As I mentioned, evangelicals have trouble with that. They want you to start with the Bible, and you should. But that doesn't mean that what you say without starting with the Bible is not biblical. As I mentioned, lots of pastors have started with the Bible and missed what the Bible was saying, especially Jesus. What Jesus said. So I'm sharing this essay with you because I see the Bible in it, while many pastors would not. Let me ask you first how you read or heard today's God's Word. There's a little title, and you should know, those little titles are not written by the Bible writers. Those are modern editors' editions in every edition of the Bible where those show up. But the little title of this Jesus story, mine said, "The Judgment of the Nations." Is that what Jesus is talking about? Or is Jesus talking about how to live a Christian life, how to follow Jesus until the last judgment? Is this a story about the end, or a story about how to live until the end? I suggest that Jesus tells this story not so much so we will know about the last judgment. Most of Jesus' people already knew about the last judgment. What Jesus' people didn't know was what the judge might say. And Jesus, who will be the judge, supplies for us the words of the judge at the final judgment. And the judge talks not about judgment, but about how followers of Jesus lived their lives. I give you an example from last week. I got a call from someone in the community needing help with a utility bill. After we talked and I understood the underlying problems, I said that Daleville Christian Church would take care of the bill. Then I asked them, did they know why Daleville Christian Church would help them? And they meekly asked, because Daleville Christian Church loves me? And I said, well, that's probably true, but Daleville Christian Church will take care of this bill because Jesus makes us do good things. Notice in Jesus' story today, the word love doesn't even show up. And yet Jesus is talking about love. Love in action. Jesus is talking about the quality of love. And this quality of love is what the judge is looking for. The preacher in Warsaw, Indiana, of whom you may have read, might have preached on love, but he had no way of knowing how to put love into action without hurting people. And friends, love that hurts people over and over isn't love. Is it? So let's turn to Sharon Randall's essay. She was on vacation, and this essay was originally published in 2016 and republished earlier this month. Sharon Randall wrote, "On a glorious fall day in 2016, I stood before an audience of cancer survivors and wondered, what can I possibly tell them that they don't already know? The event was a celebration of life, hosted by United Hospital Center in Bridgeport, West Virginia, to honor cancer patients and to remind them that they were not alone. I had no medical or theology degrees, no expertise at all to offer, but I've raised 3 children and buried my share of loved ones. I lost my mother, my stepfather, my brother's wife, and my first husband, all to cancer. I've been a daughter, sister, wife, widow, mother, grandmother, and a student of life. And I've learned a few things along the way. Let me add here that a more complete biography of Sharon Randall states that she also has been a Sunday school teacher, and you know what that means. You better listen up. So Sharon Randall told them her story, hoping it might be their story too. Here in part is what she said that day. It's still as true now as it was then. It's still as biblically true now as it was biblically true then. She wrote, "My first husband wore a lot of hats. He was dad to our 3 children, a high school teacher, basketball coach, marathon runner, young Christian life leader, and a handyman around the house. He loved doing those things and kept doing them even after he was diagnosed with cancer and given 6 months to live. By the strength of his will and the grace of God, he stretched those 6 months into 4 years, and along the way, we learned several lessons. The first lesson was kindness. We were swamped with offers for help. So many casseroles showed up at our door, I thought I might never need to cook again. Friends and even strangers said they were praying for us and that their children were praying for our children. Kindness heals. I watched it heal my husband, the coach, even as he was dying. I watched his spirit bloom with the realization of how much he was loved." Now, Pastor Gary adds, "How many times have I pointed out to you that Jesus had compassion? And the gospel writers pair that compassion with someone being healed or even raised from the dead. Jesus, in several of those cases, was not asked to do something. In our language, we would say that Jesus did many things out of the kindness of his heart. The Bible often says that Jesus had compassion, and then he healed. Then he raised people up. Jesus rarely acted in order to make people believe. He turned down that daring temptation from Satan himself. Satan said, 'If you are the Messiah, show me. Do something.' Jesus said no. But when Jesus was moved by compassion, Jesus acted. Jesus healed." Sharon Randall states, "Kindness heals." Back to Sharon Randall's words. The second lesson my first husband and I learned along the way was how to embrace change. As the cancer took its toll, he adapted. When he could no longer run, he went for walks. When he could no longer hike, he took photos of mountains and put them in scrapbooks. When he could no longer coach, he sat on the sidelines and cheered for his former players. When he could no longer teach or walk or change channels on the TV, he lay on the couch and welcomed a stream of visitors. Pastor Gary reminds you, we noticed last time, Jesus said it isn't sin that's causing this. John 9:3, take up your cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Sharon Randall continues, one by one, my then husband let go of things that once defined him. Instead, he focused on what he could do rather than what he could not. We were fortunate to have friends who made us laugh and reminded us to be thankful. That was the third lesson, she writes, gratitude. Near the end, I gave the coach, my husband, a journal. I want you to use that, I said, to make a list every day of 5 things you are thankful for. What if I don't do it? He asked me. I answered, I will hide the TV remote. So my terminally ill husband did it. My name often showed up on the list, but never at the top. He always listed God first. He said God never threatened to hide the remote. Pastor Gary would remind us all that thank the Lord is a phrase that shows up in the Bible between 50 and 80 times, depending on the version of the Bible and the phrase, either thank the Lord or thank God. I've also mentioned and counseled people to begin every morning with thanksgivings. Like Sharon Randall said, list 5 things you are thankful for every day. I strongly suggest the first thing in the morning. Sharon Randall continued, after he died, I learned yet another lesson from the words of a friend who wrote, the challenge for you now, having lost your loved one, is to live a life that is honoring to his memory, while at the same time that life moves forward, so only one person has died, not two. I don't know why some people get to live longer than others, but I believe that those who do owe it to those who don't. To live well, to keep moving forward, to be more, not less, alive. From my grandmothers, I learned I was loved. From my blind brother, I learned not to fear the dark. From my children, I learned there are things I can do and things I have to leave to God. From my late husband, I learned to let go. From my new husband, I learned to believe in second chances. And from my grandchildren, I've learned I will live forever in their hearts. Pastor Gary reminds you again that Jesus said, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Sharon Randall concludes, if there is any art to living, it might be this. Be kind. Embrace change. Be thankful. Live well. And always celebrate life. Pastor Gary concludes with Jesus' words. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Our Lord continue to bless Sharon Randall and all of you. Amen.